snatch. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. That's all I ever needed in this world. Alright, so. Hey, what a beautiful world. That was Nas's One Mic. Very, very it's a good song.
How fitting.
Wow, yeah.
How fitting.
We're here in the studio, and it's like 100 degrees, and we are all sharing one mic. So
all I need is one mic. Go ahead, Nas, speak. Go ahead.
All I need is one mic, one seat, because I'm not on the stage right now.
Yo, so once again, this is Adult Kindergarten, the podcast that'll make you a little less dumb. I am your very, very handsome host, Frankie Contreras, and I'm joined by my co-host today, DJ Originelle from Staten Island.
Yes, Staten Island. That is right, Staten Island. The only reason I'm here is because I went to school with Frankie, and Frankie actually likes me, so we're here. Let's go.
And we have a very, very special guest. We have Patrick Embrioso in the building, everybody.
Shout out your boy Pat Ambrosio. Shout out my brothers Roy and Nate. They're free. I'm also from Staten Island. Shout out to Burrow. You got 2-for-1 special today, Frank.
So, y'all better play your numbers. There's 2 Staten Island people in one room in Manhattan.
I don't even know what is in Staten Island, to be honest.
Trees and white people.
Is there a rat?
The world's biggest Ferris wheel is supposed to be there.
Allegedly.
Isn't that in Queens? Isn't that in Queens? Oh, Staten Island?
Yeah, Frankie, whatever you say.
So this episode, we're going to talk about the state of hip-hop, okay? We're going to talk about whether or not hip-hop is moving forward, in your opinion, if it's receding even further down. And just pretty much we're just going to try to educate our audience on what hip-hop is, what it means to you, and just that, pretty much. We're just going to have a very laid-back episode today, guys, all right?
Yeah, laid-back, okay. All right, I know a lot of people use their Apple Music, Spotify, and Tidal subscriptions this month, even if you have the free trial and was scamming with the free emails. Y'all were using your .edu emails from when you graduated 5 years ago. Shout out to everybody at Albany, class of 2013, best class ever, don't debate me. It's the last great Albany class. And if you have a problem with me, RIGI_NEL on Twitter, we will discuss this. Let's go.
My question is, who actually uses Tidal? Who actually pays for it? You do, apparently.
I actually pay for Tidal.
So what is it? So is, you said that there were some exclusives with Jay-Z, right?
I mean, yeah. Usually his albums come out first. The quality's a little bit better. I mean, I'm kind of like an audio head, so I like good quality stuff. But all of Jay-Z's discography is there. So unlike Apple Music, there's the 3 volumes, the Dynasty album, his last couple releases. I mean, there's some stuff that basically Tidal gets everything. Reasonable Doubt, he will never put on Apple Music, I guess, because for that reason he owns the masses. He could do what he wants with it.
See, like the thing with Tidal is that Tidal was announced like it was gonna be like the FUBU of Apple Music, like the For Us By Us, like black people, black artists made this, and we're gonna support this. But like when you look at who works at Tidal, it's just like 30 Swedish white people, like. You know what I mean? So he kind of lied to us. So that's why I don't really like that too much. I'm good friends with Jay.
I forgot. So how you not know Jay-Z worked with John Minnelli back then?
I don't know, man. He's kind of lied.
That's weird. That's way too heavy for you. Frankie's like, who is John Minnelli? Is that Liza Minnelli? Is that his brother's son?
All right. So let's start with that then. Let's start with The Carters. The album The Carters that came out, what was it, June
25th?
Yeah. Yeah.
It came out the day after the Nas album.
Yes, it came out the Saturday.
I think it was in the teens. I think June 19th.
It came out on Juneteenth. No. That's like a very important. That's like a holiday.
Yeah, it came out on a Saturday. They actually released it in a unique way. I think they released it. They plotted it perfectly because they're on their On the Run 2 tour, which is a stadium tour. So my understanding is that I think I don't know what country in Europe they were doing. They actually come to the States now this month, but they debuted the video for one of their songs, Ape Shit. And then at the end of the video, in front of stadium, in front of everyone, it just said album out now. And then it just went viral immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how it happened.
That's exactly how they released it. That's like, they literally in the stadium like, yo, we got a surprise for you at the end of the show. Like, you know, the encore or whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure what the set list is, but they debuted the video for Ape Shit. And then album out now. Go tell your friends. So from that stadium of 50,000 people, I guess, you know, the word spread. And I'm not sure if Beyonce and Jay-Z promoted it on social media or whatever.
Not at all. Nope.
I don't know how, but I don't know if it just spread from that stadium or what, but I know that's how they announced
it. I was under the impression that they just did that to spite Nas and to spite Kanye. Like,
yeah, Kanye coming out. No, he's not.
Yo, fuck you, Kanye. Like he said on last call, he said, nah, y'all want to drop albums all in June? I'm going to drop mine then.
Well, I'm not sure if they did it to spite. Now, I definitely think Jay-Z gave Drake a verse on his album to spite Kanye, though. Because that verse was, like, way too recent.
Yeah.
Which one are you talking about?
Talk Up. I'll let Nelson go ahead and comment.
Yeah, let's talk up off Scorpion. So, yeah, he released that. Because, I mean, he got that during the week the album was supposed to come out for Scorpion. Because most of these guys now literally record until it's time to press upload on Apple Music, Spotify, and I mean, some people do it well and some people don't. Kanye, but
so that explains it then. Like if I don't know if you noticed, but if you've listened to Drake's, which we will talk about soon, also, if you listen to Drake's Scorpion album, you kind of notice that the song Talk Up is like sounds so much lower than the rest of the it's like it's not mixed properly. I mean, so I think that has to do with it, right?
I think kind of, and then also the person who produced it is DJ Paul from 3-6 Mafia. So I don't know if you know
it was a mix.
A lot of songs. I mean, that's how his production sounds. Like it sounds crisp, but it kind of has a little lo-fi feel to it. I mean, to me. And I mean, 3-6 Mafia are legends. I mean, half of the songs that are popping right now are because they sampled 3-6 Mafia. No Limit sampled 3-6 Mafia from Jeezy, Cardi B, and shout to Cardi B. But, you know, ASAP are playing Jane. So it's just, you know, they're kind of getting their just due. He got his beat up, but I think it sounded like something that they would have recorded. It sounded like something that 3-6 Mafia did, and he just gave it to Drake like, yo, here's a beat.
Yeah.
And then Jay-Z recorded it, so it's pretty dope though. I was interested by it.
So what's your opinion then? So let's start off with the Carters then, since that's how we started off. What's your opinion on that album? I felt the album was rushed, and it shouldn't have been released in June. Like the album was supposed to come out sometime in August, but because they're trying to spite people, They released it earlier. That's what I think. But I want to hear what you guys think.
I mean, for me, it sounded. I was shocked. I was actually genuinely shocked because you know Beyonce did the surprise release thing and everybody kind of followed that for a while. And Jay usually likes to release his albums in the fourth quarter. I mean, from back in the day, he was a fourth quarter guy. But he's had a couple albums that released in June. So this is kind of when Jay releases albums. It was a total shock to me because I'm like a Jay-Z Beyonce album. Like I don't know. After I heard Top Up, I was like, I really do not want a Jay-Z Beyonce album because, you know, I didn't really like that song. And there are other, you know, Crazy in Love was great, Deja Vu was great, but
Hollywood was terrible.
Hollywood was god awful. Please don't. Kingdom Come? What's that?
Yeah,
that's a movie, right? That's not a Jay-Z album. I don't know what that album is.
That was the first time Back for Black album, right?
No, I don't remember that.
Alright. I think it was.
Nah, I'm not gonna lie. Okay.
It was, though, right?
Okay. I'm just, you know, I'm a whole fan, but I call a spade, it was pretty mid. You could break weed on that album. That's the only whole album you could break weed on. Actually, no, you can't, because the red hologram cover was nice.
I think that album, back to the Carters, though, like I said, I think that they released it for the sole purpose of the fact that they were going on tour, right? I think that music, you can tell what music is made just because it's like, all right, I gotta make this song, and you could tell music is made because, you know, you're feeling a certain way or it comes from somewhere that's inspired. Mm-hmm. From my personal opinion, I love the sounds of it, I love the albums, but it did sound, some tracks sounded uninspired. Like it was just a track like, oh, let me just, you know, you get what I'm saying now?
Some of the stuff, like, what's the song, not Ape Shit, because Pharrell produced that, what is it, Nice? Nice sounds like, I feel like the Neptunes have been doing it for the past 20 years, where like they make one beat and they make like five different beats off the same sounds of that beat and then give it to other people. This was basically the stems from Neon Gus and Lil Uzi Vert, and then he was like, "Yo, here's a beat that sounds like this with the trademark one count." Yeah, if you listen to Neon Gus and Nice, it is literally the same beat. You may hear a difference, like you know, if you're super hearing it, but I'm like, this sounds like Neon Guts, or is it me? But I listen to music way too much to judge that. So
it was a dope album, though. I'm never gonna discredit great music. It was still great music because I just think at the end of the day, Beyonce and Jay-Z are just great musicians. But I think after a while, I mean, and maybe it's because the bar is so high for them, you just expect nothing but greatness.
I feel that they should have never done a joint album because Jay can sell out the Garden by himself. Beyonce can sell out the Garden by themselves. Now they've joined fan bases, I feel like. And
it's only right, though. It was a matter of time. I mean, to me, it was a matter of time because I mean, they're married. I mean, think of couples that are married that their fan bases eventually join together at some point. But I like the album.
Alicia Keys fans are not, don't go fuck about Swizz Beatz. Yeah,
I mean, in that case, you're right. I mean, has he produced stuff? I gotta do my Googles on that. But I like the album. I mean, it was, for what it's worth, it's a Beyonce, Jay-Z album. I'm just glad there's no songs like Top Off or Hollywood. Like, it was, you know, there were some songs where Jay-Z was doing his, like, you know, rich man art flexing. And then Beyonce was just rapping. Like, she rapped her ass off on Ape Shit, even though it was Amigos reference, and we know that. But there were some songs where she rapped really good. I mean, Ape Shit was great.
I like the Migos version.
The Migos version was very good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it, you know. Jay was just like, yo, let me see if I could do something on this. And he sounds more, he was rapping his ass off on this album, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
He sounds really good. Like, 444 was kind of like him shaking off the cobwebs. Like, it's like him talking like, you know, a 49-year-old man. And now he's like, you know what? I'm a 49-year-old rich man. I can rent out the Lavur. Listen, French people, don't kill me. The Lavur, while Kanye West is renting out, you know, ranches in Wyoming. The fuck.
Yeah. Jay-Z definitely on his back. My favorite line from him in the whole album, he said something like, people are in their feelings. They don't want to, they rather work for the man than work with me.
Work with me?
To show that they're on my level. Shit get me disgusted. Which is true to some sense.
So then, all right. So since you mentioned, to me, in my eyes, the GOAT is Kanye West.
Get out of here.
I mean, to me. I mean, is the best producer.
Not my GOAT. Listen. Kanye West is your GOAT?
He's a genius at what he does.
So Jay-Z's not, Jay-Z's a genius.
I mean, like, he is.
Jay's a genius as well.
Does Kanye West give you life lessons in his song?
Nah, man. Look.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need to hear. Go back.
But look, if you think about even the marketing that Kanye did, like the whole Donald Trump thing, then the whole, the only cringy thing I hated throughout the whole thing was the song that he did with T.I., the Me Versus the People.
I hated
it. Yeah, Me Versus the People was a...
What about Slavery Being a Dream?
Whoopity, scoopity, poopity, doop.
That was funny.
Was somewhat
genius. What?
That was fucking
terrible.
Amazing.
Yo, hold on.
Wait.
No, we are not going over there.
Bro, lift yourself. Like, we haven't heard from Kanye in so long. So, oh my God, he's gonna drop some shit.
The beat was fire.
Yo, the beat was fire. Wow, like, the beat was fire. And then he goes, whoopity scoop. And then you're just like, oh, Kanye being Kanye. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Listen, that sounds like my stomach after I eat White Castle, dog. I wasn't trying to hear that in audio form.
Nah, man.
Listen, when he did that on the What Would Meek Do, Bro, I almost turned the song off. And what? On Pusha T's album, when he started, I was like, I swear to God, I'm going to turn this off. And then he kind of started, I was like, okay, but honestly, I really don't want it. With all due respect, listen, I love Kanye West. Don't come at me for this. I've been a fan of College Dropout, late registration. We could go all day about it, but I'm not, it just doesn't really move me anymore. I feel like he's just trying to do his best RZA impersonation with every song.
Nah.
Come on, Pat, doesn't every song sound like he's trying to be like a RZA fan now?
I think that, listen, Kanye is one of the GOATs, though.
No,
he may not be the GOAT, but he's one of them. Like, you can't have a conversation about hip-hop and not mention Kanye West's name.
Yeah.
Just from an all-facets level, writing, producing, the music he created. But I do think same thing with Jay-Z, and I think that after a while, these artists just get uninspired. You know what I mean? Like, College Dropout, Late Registration, those were all made from places of hunger, of wanting to achieve something. Once you have it and the world is at your fingertips, a lot of distractions come. I mean, Kanye, I think it's been shown that he has very bad self-esteem issues, and I think that comes out in his music one way or the other.
So the whole like release that he's been doing like recently, like this is coming off of the tip, like, yeah, I'm fucked up in the brain, like something's wrong with me. I'm taking opioids.
Yeah, yeah. So I would have laughed at me
but you can't say it's uninspired, because if you listen to the magic that was Pusha T's Daytona, all right, that was, in my opinion, one of the best albums, at least top three albums of 2018. Daytona, Pusha T, lyrically, sonically, the way that every song kind of flows together, and the fact that it's seven songs long, and it was just the right amount of perfectness.
Listen, like, I love Pusha T's album. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I've been a fan since the clips. Like, listen, I know Pusha T since he was called Terror, all right? And if you know when he was called Terror, you know what I'm talking about. You probably don't, for all the 10 listeners listening right now. But
wait, don't disrespect.
I'm playing.
Thousands of listeners. Thousands. Hundreds of thousands.
Millions and millions. Nah, I'm playing. But no, there's only 10 listeners out of the millions and millions. You're probably not Pusha was Terror. But this album was great. Like, Pusha's album was fantastic. I mean, I felt like when I listened to that album, like a brick of coke magically appeared under my mattress. Like, I was like, I'm ready to deal right now. No, I do not deal coke, guys. But like that, like those beats are great. Like it captures something. But after that, I feel like every other album, like the Kanye album, was like him was just basically like stuff that Pusha passed on, and Kanye was like, "All right, cool, I'll keep that for myself."
Because Pusha was actually mad at Kanye at the fact that because Pusha made a lot more songs that Kanye was like, "Nah, we're not gonna release that right now." For some reason, I think 7 is a magic number, and it is. Like when I first saw an album that has 7 songs, I was like, "What the fuck is this? Is this even an album? It's a mixtape. It's not even an album."
Or an EP.
Or an EP. To me, 7 songs is an EP because, like, in terms of what an EP is, it's supposedly it's 4 songs. It's under 30 minutes.
Define EP. Wait,
so just so people, know, EP in his acronym, it stands for extended play, right? You have singles, which is called in terms of the music industry. And Nelson, feel free to jump in and correct me.
Okay.
But EP stands for extended play, which means more than one song. Because usually back then, before downloads and Apple Music and all this stuff, when you had to buy the physical release, you would buy singles, and singles would usually have no more than 2 songs. Some singles would have 2 songs with them, right? When you used to go to Sam Goody's or whatever, you would actually have to physically buy the single.
A side, B side, and two songs. The B side would be like the clean version, the instrumental, et cetera, et cetera. But then, it's just so blurred now.
It is blurred, and then so an EP would be considered an extended play where it's 4 to 5 songs, right? Or something like that.
What's usually, LP?
LP is long play. Which is album.
But the thing is with like how the streaming works, everything is so blurred now. Think about mixtapes. Back in the days, mixtapes were from DJs that were playing whatever songs were hot or whatever songs they were able to get off the streets and leak them in freestyles, et cetera, et cetera. Then the artist took the mixtape and was like, okay, let's just rap over whatever the hottest beats are and let's just, you know, just put something out. Then it went to, okay, I'm putting out a mixtape. Then it got blurred to from mixtape to project because people were like, okay, I'm putting stuff that either A, my label's not gonna clear, B, I don't have the money to clear samples. C, oh, it's just some shit I just want to give you, but I don't know where to put this, so I'm just going to put it all together and give it to you. So the lines are so blurred, and I feel like everybody's trying to get as much money and numbers out of the streaming game as possible. Because if you think about it, a year or two ago, everybody was dropping 20-song albums. Or like DJ Khaled was doing 23 songs. Chris Brown did a freaking 45 track album, and that shit went gold by Sunday.
It did?
Yeah, it went gold like that week, or like in like a week or two.
I could not listen to that.
I actually listened to it. Like at work, I'm usually like running around all day, so I just let it play in the back. I was like, oh shit, 45 songs done. It was like 2.5 hours. But
bro, that's
it's wild. It's wild. It's like Tory Lanez with Tory Lanez. It's like the Titanic.
Yeah, man.
It's just such a blurred line.
It's just everybody's trying to get as much money and numbers off the streaming as possible. Think about freaking Post Malone. His album went platinum in the first day because Rockstar went platinum, the single. And because he put on the album, it was considered pre-qualified sales. But then they changed that. So now everybody's just trying to get up on, you know, streaming numbers so that the label's happy and the labels could get their money because the money is now into streaming. So everybody's just trying to get the money out.
Right.
Let me go ahead.
So speaking of labels then, because I think Drake had a line about like once this drops, I'm out of the label.
No, yeah.
So is he like now a free agent considered? Like is he out of that four? Because I think he had like a 4-album deal with Young Money or something, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Listen, Young Money, Cash Money is like the damn mob. It's like being in the gang. Like, yo, if you either in or you out. And I think out is like they kill you or something. But like, look at Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne's been in for 20 years and he still can't get it. Well, he's about allegedly got it settled, and I hope he gets his money. But
didn't he get our Carter Five cleared or some shit?
Supposedly, it's gonna come out through Universal. But there's so much going on, and Birdman has spent probably all their advances on some Ferraris and Bugattis that we don't know when all that stuff is coming out. So like, we don't know when Drake's. I don't know what Drake's deal's up. There's so much going on with that.
Yeah, nobody knows what Drake's deals are. But what I will say, though, in regards to what Nelson was saying about how the game has changed, I think the game's changed so much just because the ability that artists have to communicate with people because the world has changed, right? So I think it's a common knowledge of businesses that as the world changed, businesses adapt to it, right? So the platforms in which artists can release music to their listeners have changed substantially. Before in the 90s and 80s, you used to have to rely on a label to push your music because there was no such thing as the internet. You used to have to rely on a label for distribution platforms. But now, to make business nutshell, we can all distribute our music however we want, however we see fit. So that's why you can just drop 2-3 songs whenever. It doesn't have to be packaged anymore.
Now, is that a good thing though? Because now, don't you feel like now there's like kind of like an oversaturation?
That, yeah, I was just about to say, like, kind of at piggybacking on both of y'all, both of you, excuse me. The thing with, like, the 80s and the 90s was with art, new artists, there was such thing as called artist development, which was basically where, you know, they would sign somebody. You wouldn't really know if the label signed that person. They would curate them for about a year, get, you know, figure out where they would be, their sweet, you know, figure out what their strengths and weaknesses were. And then the label would actually push them and help them market them into the superstars that they eventually ended up becoming. Nowadays, that's nothing. Now you could just, yo, we could literally record a song right here on this podcast right now, drop it. And if it gets high off SoundCloud, some label is going to call like, yo, listen, here's the bag, sign to us. And we'll re-release the single to get more money off streaming and more money for the label. And then you could drop an album. And then, you know, maybe after the album, if it sells, we'll keep you. And if you're not, well, enjoy the projects. Like, they just, you know, it's so much now, and it does get oversaturated, because sometimes there's stuff that gets pushed, and you're just like, this is kind of weak. And then there's some stuff that does get, you know, you find some gems that are like, all right, this is great. This person could be here for X amount of time. I feel like just everybody's just trying to get a money grab, because there's not really that many artists now that have so much longevity. If you think about it, like, think about the time when it was Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, even ASAP Rocky, even though I'm not talking about that last album, ASAP, I love you, but damn.
it was called testing for a reason, though. Defense, it was called testing for a reason.
You gotta
put that caveat out there. I didn't hate it. I did. I definitely liked it.
All I'm gonna say is the first half was great. Half was great, and then I was happy. I heard he did Clans Casino, and my live love ASAP 2011. Yeah, I jumped for joy, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but coming from what they were saying, like, that was so much where all those guys came out. And there were people that came out around their times, but where are they now? And then those people are kind of the staying power. So it's just hard. There's so much stuff coming out. It's just, you got to take the time to go through SoundClouds and this, that, and the third, and see who's going to stay and who's not going to stay.
That's not your average music listener. You
that
know
isn't.
What I mean? It isn't. I mean, like...
You just stumbled upon shit.
Like Patrick was mentioning before, like, we are now being used to being kind of fed what we like, you know what I mean? Like, and if it isn't fed to you, you know, just because you like it, because I love a lot of music, I love a lot of different artists, but I don't feel comfortable playing it at a party or at a barbecue, because right. I'm thinking about, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, exactly. Because,
like, I love Papoose, right? Papoose is in.
Don't disrespect Papoose, bro. He really glowed up, dog.
Yeah.
Yo, he was a laughing stock. Now he took his hat off, and we found out he had a hairline all these years. Speaking of that.
Neo.
So Papoose takes his hat off, and we found out he legitimately has a hairline. After there's a video of him getting a haircut with a hat on. And then Jadakiss was bald for 20 years, and now he has a hairline. Looks like Lego Man. Bro, what's going on?
It's not
real. Jada, I love you. Please, don't kill me.
It's not real hair. It's like that shit you spray on your forehead. Like,
it's Beijing. Nah, I think Jada got the Lego Man hairline. But shout out to him, though.
I didn't even know Jadakiss had a hairline.
Yeah,
this is
news. Bro, I didn't
either. This is news to me right now.
Yo, I was like, I saw Jadakiss's hair. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, yo, am I drunk? I have to take a joke about a water. Like, oh shit, Jadakiss does have a hairline in 2018. He ain't had one in 97.
So, all right, so just final verdict. All right, Daytona, Pusha T's Daytona, 1 out of 10, what would you give it?
I'd give it an 8.5.
Okay, all right, similar to mine. What about you, Pat?
Bush D's Daytona 1 to 10. I give it a solid 8. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Seven tracks. I can't consider seven tracks an album, man. But it's so objective.
But what it was.
It's so objective.
And we're not gonna say 8 out of 10. Like, it's 8 out. We gotta say 10 slaps, like E Honda slaps. So it's 8.5. I give it 8.5 E Honda slaps, cause that shit slaps in the whip. Comeback baby, what? I thought my speakers were gonna pop when it was a boom. I was like, oh.
Santeria is my favorite.
Santeria's hard.
But yeah, not seven. I mean, seven. It just leaves you wanting more. It left me wanting more. That's
so. Look, I thought it was amazing, because the average commute, like work commute, is about half an hour. Right. You know, for the average American commute, it's half an hour. Album's 22 minutes. You can go through the album, and it's re-listenable over and over and over and over. Because why people sometimes think that, or say that, in my opinion, that, oh, I don't like this album. Like, they've only listened to the album one or two times. Because you've definitely heard of people saying, oh, like, you gotta let the album grow on you. You gotta let the album grow on you. Because it's seven tracks, it has no choice but to grow on you if you let it play over and over and over again.
I still like when, like, for me, I feel like a perfect album is 12 to 16 songs. Because the thing is, like, you're going to have your standouts. And then there are times where I'll listen to a 16-song album, and then, like, 6 months later, the song that I skipped, I'm like, oh, this shit was hard. Like, this is fire, you know? So that's the allure of having a 12 to 16-track album. And I feel like that's the perfect, because most classic albums do range from 12 to 16. There's not really that many. Like, I mean, there's some that are 9. Like, Nas's Omatic was, well, it's 10, but it's really 9 songs. So, in some cases, like, you have less songs, but they could all grab you. But it's just a balance. Like, it's just, I prefer 12 to 16 because you never know.
Also, Thriller, only 9 songs, if I believe, right?
Yes.
And I think 7 of them was top 10.
Oh, what is Michael?
Listen, that's Michael Jackson, dog. And that was not Michael Jackson singing on that Drake song. That was definitely The Weeknd.
It should have been The Weeknd. It should have been The Weeknd.
Or Roy Woods.
What's it?
They called, yo, I don't believe that's Michael Jackson. I'm sorry.
It is.
Rest in peace, Mike, too, man.
Actually, yo, fun fact. So modest. Thriller, apparently the vocals used for Don't Matter to Me were vocals from when he was doing the recording sessions in Thriller.
So, okay, so then we kind of mentioned a whole bunch of other albums. I just kind of wanted to get your quick opinion on it. So, we mentioned Ye, right, as an album. I love it. I think that, like, there were some weak moments, and it's not as strong as Kid See Ghost, which I know this is going to be a hot take. OD hot take. Kid See Ghost, album of the year.
You're lucky there's only one mic, because I would cut this whole mic off. But they need to hear what I have to say. Do you have anything else to say about this before I go off?
Kids and Ghosts? Yeah.
Come on. I think...
No, about Ye.
Oh, nah. Nothing else to say about Ye. Ye is a 7 out of 10.
Okay. I'm going to say my album for the month of June that hasn't been mentioned yet. I'm wearing the shirt of the person who did the album.
Right. Yo, I already... That's the album. Yup. Pat knows what time it is.
That's the album of the month.
But okay.
Back to yeah.
All right. So am I gonna talk about Ye right now?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Come on.
I listened to it and I was like, this was it. Like, this is what I waited for Kanye West album for.
It's unorthodox.
Nope. Unorthodox. My ass. Unorthodox. What?
It is.
What?
That's something you would expect from.
Christian. What's unorthodox? That he played the album in fucking Wyoming, and then they said no more black people in there no more after he played the album. Like, so Fabulous was in Wyoming. Is that what's unorthodox about this album? That was it.
He flew everyone out to Wyoming.
Okay, listen. Okay. I'll give you this. Yikes was cool. The song with Charlie Wilson was great, but it's because of Charlie Wilson, dog.
And also, Drake wrote the hook to Yikes. That's a fact.
That's big facts.
Really?
Shout out to... Well, Frankie, you learn something new every day.
No, that was a rumor.
No, it's true. His name is in there.
He got his writing credit.
Aubrey Graham is in the composer credits.
We're going to talk about it later, the Pusha T versus Drake, but I think that's why Drake was like, are you serious? When Pusha T, you know, came at him, because, like, yo, I was just with y'all writing y'all songs.
I did hear that, like, the reason how, like, the way that Pusha kind of got his... the information about Drake's kid was because of, like, some unreleased track, right?
Yeah, because when artists meet together, like, if you're my friend, like, I'm hoping after this I'll show you some of my songs, right? I'm gonna show you my songs. So, I mean, that's rumors, though. I don't know any of we don't know anybody personally, right? Yeah. So this is all like super duper hearsay to, like, the umpth degree, right?
Yeah. Nelson just asked if we could put this fan on. Nah, bro. Man's not.
Bro, it's wild steamy in here, dog. Like,
it's just shit.
Yo, you let out so many hot takes. I'm dying right now. But,
I mean, we're only in here for another 20 minutes.
Oh, God. It's lit. It's all right, man. This is my workout outside from work. But, I mean, I don't know. There's just, and I'm being honest. Like, I love Kanye. I've been a fan of him aside from his Kanye with 3K antics the last couple months in this past year, but just this album, like, I listened to, and I tried to listen to it. Like, one of my close friends, shout out to Ruby, was like, yo, like, listen to it. Like, you know, I tried. I was like, bro, listen, it ain't for me, dog. Like, this is no for me. Shout out to Randy Jackson.
So, all right, so not
for
you.
It's a no for me, dog. I'll give it a strong 5 Honda slaps out of 10.
What about you, Pat?
A strong 5.
6. The production's not bad. I think that Kanye West stated that he already had the brunt of a bunch of songs already written, and the whole TMZ incident happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he kind of went back to the drawing board from the album. My understanding is that he went back to the drawing board after the whole TMZ incident happened. So think about the timeline between the TMZ incident and when he actually released the album. And
that's when most of it.
That's when he, like, he decided to kind of go back to the drawing board and, you know, write a majority of those songs. So, it did seem like half-assed work. I'm not gonna lie to you, straight up. Mm-hmm. The beats were fire, but in terms of lyrical content and verses, it just seemed like he kind of put it together and didn't go back to the drawing board on them.
Now, what didn't feel like half-assed work was, in my opinion, the album of the year, Kitsy Ghost. I've been hearing about about Kid Cudi going to Japan with Kanye. That was the first rumor that I saw. Like, Kid Cudi went to Japan, spent like 2-3 months with Kanye and nobody else. Just one other Japanese guy making this album. This album revived Kid Cudi's career, all right? It did. It turned it around. It was complete 180. I was seriously disappointed with Spitting Bullet to Heaven and even Kid Cudi's last project, which wasn't as good. Like, I thought Cudi was over. But this project, in my opinion, it evolved Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi evolved into a Charizard now. So he's now a viable, a competitive Pokemon, in my opinion.
Wow. I'm gonna let Nelson comment. Well, me personally, Kid Cudi hasn't been the same since Man on the Moon 2. My personal opinion. Man on the Moon 1 and 2. Everything Kid Cudi up until Man on the Moon 2 was awesome, and then he went in the cut and all that stuff.
Depressed.
I'm not gonna say I don't like it. It was too different for me, but I shout out Kid Cudi. I'm still a fan.
Yeah, I have to agree. I haven't really been a fan of his stuff since Man on the Moon 2. I mean, in the cut, there were a couple songs, but I don't know. It was cool, but I just never... Like, there's some songs that were good. I mean, I guess. Was it Fourth Dimension? Was okay. Let me pull up the track list, because that's how much I forgot about these albums, that I do not remember the track list.
No, no.
That's not good, dog. Like, and I listen to albums all the time. Let's see. Kanye West trying to do Cheeky Elizon Feel the Love was terrible. Bruh, it sounded... Yo, listen. I don't know what happened. What?
That's called scat.
Get the fuck out of it. Yo, the only person I want to hear that from, the only person I want to hear even remotely doing that is Michael Jackson, Chief Keef, Waka Flocka, and DMX. That's it.
Or the
that's it.
Or the jazz artist.
Leave that shit to the jazz artist, dog.
Oh, my God.
Wild Baba, you know, leave that to Little Richard. Like, you feel me? Like, No. Frankie, listen.
It's a 10 out of 10 album.
Frankie, seek help.
Oh, my God.
Fourth Dimension was cool. Right. Reborn was cool. Kissy Ghost was okay.
Reborn was okay.
You're already halfway through the album, though.
That's already it, yeah. I'm a whole shit. This album's over. Done. Bye.
Okay.
So yeah. It's an okay album. So, I mean, it's not bad. It's a good album.
Yo, they should have called this Kissy Meh, because that's what it was. It was Mad Mid.
Nas project.
Nas.
You told me that Nas and Kanye are collaborating or something. I'm thinking we major kind of vibes, and that was one of my favorite songs of all time.
Come on, my homie.
When I heard Kanye and Nas were doing an album together, my backpack magically appeared on me, and I turned into like a super backpacker. But like, this album was okay. I mean, some of the songs to me sound like Nas was recording and then Kanye West just put beats over it. Some of them. I mean, there's some good songs.
Cop
Shot the Kid was, oh my God.
You don't like that one?
I love that one.
You love that one? Yeah. What the fuck was
it? So he hates it. You love it.
I don't like it.
Adam and Eve
was cool. Everything was way too long. Everything was half of the album. That whole song, everything was half the album length.
Bonjour was good.
It was okay. White Label was cool, but Cop Shot the Kid, I think, was like it's the sample was cool, like it's a nice little flip. But then Kanye West trying to talk about police brutality when he was just talking all that bullshit a couple months ago. Nah, dog. Like, they should have cut that verse and called it a rap. But it was okay. Like, I'm happy that I heard Nas. It was great. But for a Nas Kanye album, I kind of wanted more. But that's just my honest opinion. Like, I give it 7 out of 10 Honda slaps. 7. I'll give it a cool 7.
Alright, okay.
You know.
Alright, so you said a 7 for Nas. Teyana Taylor, I'm not gonna lie to you, I haven't heard it and I have no intention of hearing it. I have heard it, but I can't rate it or score it. I just don't feel like that she should have her own album. Teyana Taylor to me is a backup.
She has some gems.
She is a backup singer and that's it.
Oh, wow.
Frankie, you smoking wild mid right now. You said Kissy Kissy Ghost was the album of the year. You love Kanye's album, and then you say Teyana Taylor. Oh my God. Well, listen, no. Teyana Taylor deserved it because she is one of the good music artists. I just think that concerning how much she records, like, it shouldn't have been 7 songs. And then there's a whole other thing behind this album now, because she's like, this wasn't even my album. Kanye West was taking shit out. I'm not gonna lie to you, I think he did the same thing with Nas. I think literally they pulled up in Queensbridge, they played that album, and Kanye was like, oh, hey, yo, Nas, you like this shit, dog? You like this? And Nas was just like, yeah, I guess. And then it took Nas till like 11 o'clock the next night to upload it, and I was high-key mad about that, because I was like, I want to hear Nas at work. But, yeah, Nas' album was there. And Tiana's was okay.
I like
it was cool.
I like some songs of Tiana. Are You Gonna Love Me and Issues, I told him, were dope songs. Tiana said that...
Three-way was hard.
Yeah, huh?
Three-way was fire.
Yeah, with Ty Dolla $ign, right?
Yes.
Yo, that was dope.
With your girl, a magical third girl's gonna appear.
Ty Dolla $ign has been impressive lately. He's been
really good in this whole Kanye run. Because
give my man Ty Dolla $ign his credit. He is all over these albums. He's making that money. The thing is, everybody wants to talk about Ty Dolla, but his solo work is great too. I think people just love him for his features, but his solo albums are great. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Ty Dolla, the misogynistic god.
And he does a lot of songwriting people don't look up either. Yeah. I feel like Ty Dolla $ign's been in the game for a while. He writes a lot of songs that a lot of people don't know about. I can't name any off the top of my head.
He did do Tootin' and Booty for YG.
Yeah.
That's an Albany classic right there. So, freshman year, holla. All right,
guys. So we have 5 minutes left. our producer is giving us a 5 minute sign. All right. So, Future came out with some shit. So I feel like Future. It makes music, and I feel like I'm skipping child support payments when I listen to this song. I don't know why. Like, I just feel guilty. I'm like, what the fuck? This misogynistic shit.
Nah, Future's fire. Every time I hear Future, I feel like I'm about to do something very wild for no reason. shout out to Future. Oh, but let's talk.
I have a hot take.
Here we go.
Yeah. All right. So. And I think I've mentioned this to DJ Original before. So I feel like the whole trap genre became the trap genre the way we know it today because of the Future and Drake album.
Oh my god. No.
What a time to be alive.
Bro, I don't even play anything.
We could do a whole nother hour of how that not happened, bro. No. You are not gonna disrespect I call him Young Jeezy still. You're not gonna disrespect Jeezy, Gucci Mane, T.I.
That wasn't
goddamn.
That was
yes,
South.
It was.
That was South music. South
Frank,
rap.
We not Frankie, please. Frankie, please. We got 5 minutes
that
left.
That was the mainstream.
Next album. The album of the month, in my opinion. In Pats, are we gonna say this?
Redemption.
J-Rock's Redemption. Holy
are
shit.
Are you insane?
Bruh, I was about to start blood walking.
Are you insane?
Give me my win. Give me my red rag. I am not a gangbanger. That shit was fire.
That was, bro.
J-Rock's worst project.
You do not listen to, no,
yeah,
what?
You don't listen to hip-hop.
All right, I'm gonna say this.
Frankie.
It was.
That I gotta
was,
go home.
Every. Oh my God,
that was
Frankie! Time. No, Frankie, you gotta stop.
Worst.
It was his best album. I'm gonna say why. Wait.
What? Nope.
Everything is fitting, bro.
He's done better.
Bro, he's the first guy. Listen, the first guy off TDE.
It's going downhill.
He had a solid first album.
Signed TDE,
he's the first. Yeah, he's the first guy signed to TDE before Kendrick, before JQ. JQ.
Schoolboy Q.
Wow, sorry.
Absol.
Before Absol, before SZA, before all them, it was J-Rock. So for him to be the first guy. To then, you know, have the album, have the crazy motorcycle accident, which you almost died from, to then have a mid-second album, which is not that good, and then to redeem himself, just, bro. Redemption was perfect. It was great.
4 out of 10.
That's a solid 9 out of 10.
What?
That shit slaps. I swear
what?
To listen.
Yo, 8.5. No, 9 out of 10.
I'm giving it a 9, bro. Listen, I listen to that in a car. I feel like I'm about to pull out an Uzi and do a drive-by. I feel like I'm about to hop out the car and do something illegal.
All right, guys. So we are running. We have ran out of time here. This is really fun sharing one mic with two with two musical mics. We are sweating. We're dying. but this has been Adult Kindergarten, the podcast that'll make you a little less dumb. We will have our guest Pat Ambrioso come back for another future episode because he will talk about. Because he is an artist as well, and he will talk about his transition into the business, and also hopefully have some heat for us.
Yeah, most definitely, Pat Ambrosio.
Yeah.
So, named after my father.
And you're going to have me come back, too, because you need these music takes, Frankie. I need to educate you. You need a whole episode where you say nothing, I educate you. All right. All
right, guys, I love you. Let's turn the fucking fan on. All right, bye.
It's too hot in here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.